Hi, my name's Nick Smith, founder and creator of Part-Time Pilot. Now, after 3 years, five flight instructors, and over $22,000 out of my bank account, I was finally able to achieve my dream and become a private pilot. Now, I have a bachelor's and master's in aerospace engineering and over 10 years experience as a flight test engineer. So if it was that difficult for someone like me, no wonder 8 out of 10 student pilots never end up becoming a pilot. So this is why I created Part-Time Pilot, and this is why I'm creating this podcast. This podcast will be your audio ground school and just another way Part-Time Pilot is making flight training easier and more consumable for you. So with over 300 students and counting that have used our content to pass the FAA private pilot exams, I hope that you can use this podcast to become the next student to do so. So thank you, and I hope you enjoy listening to the Part-Time Pilot Audio Ground School Podcast. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome in, everybody. My name is Nick, and I am the host of the Audio Ground School Podcast and the founder and creator of Part-Time Pilot, online ground schools and trainings and information for student pilots. How is everybody doing today? Today is a sunny day. We've had some strange, wild rains in San Diego, California, but today is back to normal. So that's good. I'm recording this on March 5th. And on March 4th, I posted something that I want you all in today's listener question. We're going to flip the script and we're actually going to have you guys answer a question. So here's how that's going to work. I'll tell you what the question is here. Maybe give you guys, I'm not going to give you guys any ideas of what to do, but you can email us your answer, or you can go to our Instagram. This is preferred, which is at @part_time_pilot. So it's Part-Time Pilot with periods between each word. So go to our Instagram, give us a follow while you're at it. That'd be great. If you look on our post from March 4th, the post we made on March 4th, it's a question and just says comment below. So if you just want to comment your answer below, it would be much appreciated. I'm really interested to hear what you guys have to say on this. So what is the question? Well, the question is, what is happening in your aviation training life, right? In your pilot training life. So what is happening in your life, in your training, when ground school isn't working for you? Either it's not working, it's not clicking, you're struggling with it. What is happening in your life or training when ground school isn't clicking, working, isn't doing it for you? So what are the effects in your life that you feel, and how does that change you when the ground school content, you know, whether you are in an in-person ground school and you just don't connect with the instructor, or you have an online ground school and you just can't pay attention, or there's other lessons and you're just not getting certain lessons, or maybe you just can't find the time to get ground school and it's affecting you. Whatever it is, what's happening in your life or training when ground school isn't working for you? So go ahead and you can email us at team@parttimepilot.com, or like I said, look for the March 4th post on our Instagram. Again, that's part_time_pilot, and comment on that question and let us know what you think. I'm interested to hear what you guys have to think on that, and we might do a follow-up on the next episode of the podcast on what your guys' answers are. Also on the Instagram, if I mentioned, you know, giving us a follow, one of the reasons is we just did a couple of video series, and I try to do this often. I try to make it, like I said with you guys, I try to make everything valuable for student pilots. So that includes our Instagram account. And so I do different video series. I did a video series on different ways to calculate crosswinds and headwinds. So there's like, it's like a 9-part series, and it's in small bits and pieces. And then I did a series on coordinated turns, skidding turns, and slipping turns. So we just did the part one of slipping turns. Part two will be the next post we do. And so that's kind of a little, again, they're all like, you know, real Instagram reels is like a minute or a minute and a half. So they're all short kind of reels and stuff like that. If you're not on Instagram, maybe you're on TikTok, or maybe you're on both. TikTok is not my favorite thing in the world. Social media in general is not my favorite thing in the world, but it is a place to connect. And I found kind of a good place on Instagram where I connect with you guys. So I don't mind Instagram. TikTok, I don't know. Maybe I'm too old. But I am on TikTok. It's at part period, time period, pot, same thing as Instagram. So you can do the same stuff on Instagram, you know, informational quick lessons and stuff. So again, one of the hacks for the question that we asked today, you know, when ground school isn't working, one of those hacks is to feed your day with information, bits and pieces of information on your ground school. If you're becoming a pilot, cleanse your social media feeds with only pilot-related, helpful, knowledgeable content so that when you're scrolling through Instagram, instead of just hearing about celebrity gossip or politics or conspiracy theories or sports or whatever it is, right? You know, unfollow those accounts that post that stuff and just for like a few months, just have it be like ground school content stuff. So that's kind of a little hack to just keep you engaged on that. And then find times, little times in the day to pick up knowledge where you can. Anyway, so that's what we're going to do for the listener question today. For our next segment, let's read off a couple reviews. We got a couple new reviews. And again, I'm reading these off from trustpilot.com. I will also read off a review if you leave it on Apple Podcasts. We get a lot of star ratings, but we haven't got a lot of like verbal reviews. So really helps us out, you know, move up the ranks when people search, you know, pilot podcast or something like that. So it'd be highly recommended if you enjoyed the podcast that you go and leave us a review. If you don't have Apple Podcasts, whether it's Google or Spotify, see if they can let you leave a review. And if not, you can go to trustpilot.com. It's like a review service and they make sure that all the reviews are like legitimate customers and stuff like that. I like them. That's what we've been doing. We've got 270 reviews on there for both our ground schools and our podcast. So we'll read off a couple of those today. First one is from Alex. Thank you, Alex, for your review. It's a 5-star review. It says, I just started studying to become a pilot. This school seems to have it all figured out. That is crucial as it allows students to take significant bandwidth off their brain shoulders. Brain shoulders, I like that. In other words, it's well organized and I have less things to worry about in my busy schedule. I just have to find time to dedicate to this training and study. And the beauty of this school is that there are many ways to get the information for people with all sorts of learning styles. So that really fits with what I was talking about in our question today, you know, like using social media to your advantage to put, you know, informational accounts on there like ours at Part-Time Pilot. And then also this podcast, right? It's another reason why we do this podcast. We understand that the modern day student pilot has a full-time job. They got kids, they got other responsibilities, whatever it is, especially if you're flying at the same time, your time and money is probably stressed out. And so making it easier to study this ground content, and no matter what ways that is, you know, listening to a podcast while you work out, drive, whatever, or, you know, while you're scrolling on social media, maybe you pick up a tip or two a day. So little things like that can go a long way and help you out. So thanks for the review, Alex. The next one and our last one we'll read today is Trevor. Trevor, thank you for your review. 5-star says, best value. Part-time pilot has helped provide structure to my ground school experience. Also, the different forms I am able to learn in helps me retain the information. I can read, listen, or watch videos, which really helps. Additionally, it is an up-to-date resource and is actively getting worked on by the owner versus other ground schools where you don't know what you are buying. Wow. I really, really appreciate you pointing that out, Trevor. We're always, always taking into account the feedback we get from you guys. And anytime the FAA has any updates, I'm pretty sure we are the first one when the FAA made changes to some, I'm not going to name names, but some ground schools out there still haven't made changes. But when the FAA made changes to the written exam in spring of 2023, we were the first ones to react to that. And everywhere around when they made those changes, student grades on average, no matter what ground school you use, student grades in the FAA written dropped about 10%. And it's because, you know, they were using study tools and study aids that were based off prior to the change. And then after the change, it dropped their scores a little bit. So we went to work updating our practice tests, our quizzes, our lessons to meet those updates. And we saw after a few months of doing that, our students' average test scores go back up to where now they're above 90% on there. So thank you, Trevor, for that great review. Alrighty, let's get on to today's lesson. So we are in the online ground school, the Part-Time Pilot online ground school. If you want to find out more information on that, go to parttimepilot.com and we got all the information in the world you can think of. You can even, some people ask if we do, you know, free trials. I don't like to do free trials. I like to just you know, you guys purchase the course, and then if you don't like it, I give refunds. Like, I hate companies that don't do refunds. It feels like they're out there trying to steal your money. So I'm really relaxed on refunds. I don't think there's ever been someone I haven't refunded. I think there was one time where someone was obviously like trying to just download everything and go through everything and take screenshots and stuff. And so we can tell if you're doing that. So as long as you don't do that or go through the entire course and use everything, we'll give you a refund. So we'll let you go in, poke around, even do quite a few lessons, and you can still get a refund. So I like that transactional type contract-based thing that if we don't live up to our contract, we'll give a refund. So, okay. So you can go check that out, you know, get in there and let us know if you don't like it and we'll give you a refund. Anyways, if you're following along, which in the ground school, which I highly recommend because you got the, like Trevor said in the review, you got the written lessons, you got the audio here. So you compare that with the written lessons. We got a bunch of like diagrams and visuals. I think I've made like, I have a folder of like 700 different diagrams and visual aids for our course. And then we have videos and then we have our quizzes and then you get into their practice tests and all that. So step one is the step one course in the ground school is where you have all their lessons. And in section 17 of that step one course is on emergencies. And we only have one more section after this on night operations. So we're almost done. Last week we did electrical failures, gyro failures, and radio failures. And today we're going to get through engine fires, electrical fires, and then engine failures right after liftoff. So let's go ahead and get into that lesson 6 on engine fires in section 17 of the online ground school on emergencies. Okay, I got to give out my disclaimer, right? That these procedures, numbers, anything in here is just based off a made up general aviation aircraft. Okay. Every single procedure and situation is different for your aircraft in your situation. So you're going to learn that through your aircraft manufacturer's documentation, whether that's in the approved flight manual or pilot operating handbook, whatever that is. So go with whatever that says and your flight instructor. So you guys are going to know best when you're actually doing the flight training. Just use what I'm going to say in this as a knowledge tool, right? You know, give you a general idea of what kind of things you want to do in these situations, but don't take this word for word and apply it directly. That's going to depend on your aircraft situation. So that's for all these lessons. That disclaimer goes, got that out of the way. All right. So let's talk about engine fires. In some emergency situations, it is imperative to stay flying for as long as possible, right? We talked about engine failures where we're forced to rely on our best glide speed to reach a runway safely. So the reason we get to best glide speed is so that we can fly the maximum distance before we get to the ground, right? So we want to stay flying for as long as possible. Give us as much time as possible to find a landing spot. That's when you have an engine failure. However, other situations dictate that you get to the ground as soon as possible. This situation is when pilots may want to perform what we call an emergency descent. So before we get to specifics of an engine fire, I want to talk about what an emergency descent is and how you might perform that generally. So an emergency descent situation, a situation where you might want to get to the ground as soon as possible. Like imagine fire is a perfect situation, right? Like if your cockpit is on fire, if your engine is on fire, it's not much longer before you're going to have no power. You're going to pass out from the fumes. You're going to burn up yourself. You know, there's all these things that time is pressing when you have a fire, right? So you want to get down as soon as possible. So you might not, again, this depends on the situation, but you might opt for a field that's right below you rather than the runway that's 10 miles away from you. So that's what we call an emergency descent. So in an emergency descent, you want to generally, it might change for your aircraft and situation. You want to put the throttle to idle, add full flaps, pitch to 90 knots or the airspeed that gets you to the ground the quickest. Enter a 45 degree bank. This is done to help descend quicker. Find a landing spot that is safe and clear below you. If a landing spot requires more glide, decrease your bank. Perform appropriate checklists if you have time and land as soon as possible. Focus on maintaining coordinated flight and speed above stall speed. So essentially we want to go throttle to idle and then add full flaps, pitch down, and then add in a steep bank to really get our aircraft down as soon as possible. Then once we, as we do that, we want to kind of look around where we're going to land. Obviously, you would want to have an idea of where you're going to land before you do this. You would want to know that there is somewhere to land below me before you start this, right? You, if you're just over a bunch of mountains, you're not going to do this immediately. You're going to try to get somewhere where you can try a landing and then get down as soon as possible. But you guys get what I'm saying. And so that's the goal, is just like, once we find that spot where a possible landing can be made, we want to get down as soon as possible. In the event of an engine fire in flight, the number one thing to do is starve the engine and thus the fire of its fuel source, right? The fuel source, we don't want to continue to be pumping fuel, you know, avgas onto the fire if it's an engine fire, right? So to do this, we want to follow these steps. We want to kill the fuel. So that's mixture cut off, fuel pump off, fuel selector off. All right. So all those switches turn to off. We don't want the fuel getting to the engine anymore if the engine is on fire. We want to close any air vents in the cabin. Do this to avoid smoke getting into the cabin. So we want to protect ourselves here. And then we want to land. If the fire has ceased and the aircraft is controlling correctly, we want to perform an engine out landing as per our checklist. If the fire persists or if the aircraft is not flying correctly, perform an emergency descent as per your checklist. So again, it's going to dictate your situation, whether you have a landing spot directly below you or not, and whether that fire persists or not. So the main things to kind of remember here is, if you have an out of control fire and you have something that you can land on below you, you want to get down as soon as possible. And then if you have an engine fire, if that fire is in the engine, you want to definitely stop fuel from going to the engine. So you want to turn everything off in terms of fuel. All right, let's move along now and talk about lesson 7, electrical fire. So we're done with engine fire. And electrical fires may be another situation where a pilot would want to perform an emergency descent, right? If that electrical fire is out of control in the cockpit, obviously it's something you need to get down as soon as possible for. Granted, you have something to land on, like a field or a road or runway, preferred, obviously, parking lot, something like that. If you experience an electrical fire while in flight, the most important thing to accomplish is killing the electrical source. To do this, follow these steps or something like it, again, depending on your aircraft and situation. So master switch off, all pumps off, all avionics off, all lights off, open any cabin vents. Again, electrical fire is going to be in the cockpit. So instead of closing the vents, before we close the vents with an engine fire, because the vents usually come from the engine shroud and outside the aircraft. So we don't want smoke getting in. This time the smoke's already in the cockpit, so we want it to get out. So we're going to open the vents here to help smoke escape the cabin. And then we're going to land. If the fire has ceased and the aircraft is controlling correctly, perform an engine out landing as per your checklist. So in that situation, you know, we just want to say we want to land, but we can go to a runway, right? So that's kind of what I mean there. Rather than if the fire persists, is performing an emergency descent where we get down as soon as possible. So that's the difference there. You know, one is a checklist where we can still make it to a runway. The other one is a checklist where we may not do that emergency descent, right? So if the fire is crazy, we don't have time to get to our runway. So that's kind of the difference there that you will have to decide in that situation, which is not ideal. Did you know that Part-Time Pilot's Ultimate Private Pilot Test Prep book just won a Pulitzer Prize? Okay, no, it didn't win a Pulitzer Prize, but it was just updated for the recent changes we saw made to the FAA written exam. So now the book has everything that our ground school has and the same questions and test bank that our ground school has that students are averaging over 90% on the FAA written exam. It's now up on Amazon, and you can find it in our show notes on every episode. So go ahead and check that out. Okay, we are on to our final lesson of this episode and the final lesson of Section 17 on emergencies. This is Lesson 8. Section 17, and it's on engine failure after liftoff. Again, I want to put out that disclaimer that this is just general information that may help you understand the situation and not direct procedures that you should use. It depends on your aircraft situation and your flight instructor. So go with what they say. All right, engine failure after liftoff speed and in the climb out is by far the most dangerous emergency to a pilot. Aircraft that lose an engine during climb out are low, slow, just lost power, and the runway is likely at a 180 degree turn behind them. So you just took off. Depending on when you lose your engine, you could be just a couple hundred feet, you know, a few hundred feet, whatever. So you're low, you're slow because you're takeoff speed, you know, takeoff speed is not that much more than your stall speed, right? For like a general aviation aircraft, stall speeds are high 50s, low 60s, and takeoff speeds are, you know, you lift off in the low 60s to high 60s, and then you pitch the best angle or best rate of climb, which is usually in the 70s of airspeed. So it's not that far off from stall speed. So you're slow, you're low, and you just lost power, so you don't have any more power. And then it's a long turn to get back to the runway. You just left the runway. You're flying away from the runway. And unless your airport has like other runways at different angles, it's likely a 108, complete 180 to get back onto the runway. So that's what makes it just that situation alone, low, slow, requires 180 degrees with no power. That's what makes it a dangerous, dangerous situation. The most important rule to remember in the event of a power failure after becoming airborne is to immediately establish proper gliding attitude and airspeed. Again, we talked about our glide speed, right? That is the speed at which is going to give us the most, you know, we'll be able to fly the furthest distance before we reach the ground. So that's what we want to get to ASAP. That's going to give us the most time and distance to get to where we want to be. So that's what we want to do first. Then the pilot needs to make a quick decision. I want to emphasize quick decision. We had a figure, and I don't know if we talked about this in the podcast or not, but somewhere in the ground school, we have talked about this where they say like in a stressful situation, sometimes it can take people 30 seconds to a minute to, and that's even on the good side, to decide, you know, figure out what's happening, right? Believe that you are, you know, there's a shock component to it. So you got to believe that you did just lose your engine and then get over your shock and then decide what to do. And for some people, that shock can really make it, you know, 30 seconds, a minute or so before they make a decision. And that is very, very dangerous because when you've lost power, every second counts and you're going to be losing out valuable time and altitude. So the quicker you can make a decision on what to do and where to go and to get to that glide speed, the better off you are. Now, pilot needs to make a quick decision on whether or not they can turn back to the runway. And this goes back to, for this reason, a pilot should verbally plan out their emergency decision point before every takeoff. So I don't know if every flight instructor is teaching this. If they're not, they should be. I know the military teaches this. I know that I have been taught this. Before you take off on the runway, like right before you get on the runway, there should be a pre-takeoff brief where you talk about possible situations and decision points that you're going to make. There might be a decision point on the runway itself, where if you haven't taken off by that point, you come to a complete stop. After that, you risk not being able to come to a complete stop and running off the end of the runway. So you'll have a point on there, a decision point on the ground to make. And then you'll have a decision point in the air to make on whether or not you can turn back to the runway or turn to a runway. Again, maybe your airport has a runway at a different angle that you can turn to. And you have to know that for your aircraft. I used to say for my aircraft that if I was above 1,000 feet AGL, I would feel comfortable trying to make a 180 degree turn back to the runway. 1,000 feet, even that is a little risky. If you don't make that decision right away, you start to lose some of that, right? Some of that time, so some of that altitude buffer, right? So maybe, and then if you have different winds or different performance of your aircraft, whatever, it could be, might even need more. And this is a personal kind of limit you need to set. Maybe make it 1200, 1300. And it also depends on your aircraft and the glide ratio of your aircraft. So all that has to come into account. And you'll want a decision point and you'll want to brief that to yourself, even when you're flying yourself, or to your flight instructor when you're in there. So you'll say, you know, if we lose engine before 1,000 foot AGL, again, just for an example, this may change for you, for your aircraft, whatever. But if we lose an engine before 1,000 foot AGL, then I'm going to look for a road or a parking lot. And you should, especially your home airport, you should kind of have an idea of which road and which parking lot that will be. So you'll say, I'm going to turn in the direction of the traffic pattern and land on this road if I don't make it, if we lose engine before 1,000 foot AGL. If we're above 1,000 foot AGL, then I'm going to call Mayday and tell the tower that I'm turning around and running, landing opposite on the runway I just took off on. So you should have that kind of brief. And again, these numbers might be different for you, so don't take my word for it. This is just an example. But you should have that brief with those numbers in mind and brief it before every single takeoff. All right. With that said, a pilot, so you should have a go, no-go point on the ground, like I talked about. It is a visual point such as a hangar, runway marking, or taxiway that if takeoff speed and power is not reached before that point, the takeoff is aborted. And then a pilot should have a turnaround point in the climb out, just what we talked about. This is the altitude at which you, the pilot, deem it is safe to make a 180-degree turn back to the runway. This depends on the aircraft and can be practiced at safe altitudes. So you can practice this at higher altitudes with your instructor or even, you know, once you become a pilot yourself and really get an idea of what your aircraft can perform at, right? Because even aircraft, you know, POHs and proof flight manuals, they may say, you know, a certain performance or a glide speed and glide distance, glide ratio, right? But, you know, there may have been altercations to the aircraft that changed that, or it may just, you know, over time may not have that same performance. So it's really smart to go up to a safe altitude and a safe practice area and practice this out, you know, do a simulated engine out and see, okay, I'm going to give myself, let's say 30 seconds to make a decision. I'm going to pitch the glide speed and then I'm going to make a 180 and see how much altitude you lost, right? And see, can you do that on your takeoff runway? So that is a good practice to do. And like I said, for myself, if I'm at a traffic pattern altitude or higher, or already on the crosswind leg of my traffic pattern, then and only then will I think of turning back to the runway. So that's another thing. If you're flying in the pattern, right, you may have turned to crosswind on your traffic pattern. And let's say you're on the crosswind leg of your traffic pattern, but you're still not at traffic pattern altitude, which is usually 1,000 feet AGL. So let's say you're like 700 feet AGL, but you've already made half your turn, the 180 degree turn needed to get back to the runway, right? So it makes it a little bit easier. If you're already on that crosswind leg, you don't need as much altitude. If you're already on that crosswind leg, then it's easier to get back to that runway you just took off on. That's kind of my rule. It's either 1,000 foot AGL. And again, this is for the aircraft I fly in. Might be different for yours. 1,000 foot AGL, or if I'm already in the crosswind leg, completely made that turn already. If I lose engine with those criteria met, then I will think about turning back to the runway. All right. So that's it. Hopefully you guys found these lessons on emergencies helpful. The part-time pilot ground school is a complete ground school. We don't just do the test prep stuff. We want to prepare you for your flight lessons so those can be easier and you'll spend less money, you know, on those lessons because you'll be ahead of the aircraft mentally. The lessons will go smoother. You won't have to redo lessons. Your instructor won't get upset that you don't know this stuff. They won't force you to do one-on-one ground sessions at $50, $60, $70 an hour. That's what our ground school is all about, making the most prepared and competent student pilots out there that exist. So that's what we're all about. But we also do prepare you for that FAA written test as seen by our average test scores above 90%. So hopefully you guys found these lessons on emergencies really, really helpful. Let's talk about what we have coming up. So that's it for today's episode. But coming up, we're going to go on to section 18. And this is the last section of the online ground school. So just looking back, we had an introduction episode. We did a section on operation of aircraft systems. We did pilot certifications, qualifications, and regulations. We did a section on aircraft airworthiness requirements, section on weather theory, charts, and weather information, national airspace system, fundamentals of aerodynamics, limitations and more regulations, human factors, weight and balance, cross-country planning, before takeoff procedures, airport operations, pilot control and ground reference maneuvers, navigation. Now emergencies we're done with. And now our final section is night operations. And that one has 6 lessons. So that's just a few episodes left of the Audio Ground School podcast for Private Pilot Ground School. Now, you guys may have heard that our IFR Ground School did release the beta version of that. So with that beta version, the beta founding members got a great deal, half off the Ground School for lifetime access. And in return, they're providing us feedback. So they're kind of like our initial testers. Also, while we button up some things, finish making a few of the videos and some of the audio in there as well. My plan right now, I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to do with the podcast after I finish up the Private Pilot Ground School, but I'm pretty sure that, and so stay tuned on that, but I'm pretty sure I'll be continuing on with IFR Ground School lessons, but TBD, I'm not sure yet. Anyways, few more left until they're all complete. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please subscribe to our YouTube, our Instagram, leave us reviews. All that stuff really, really helps. And if you want to join us in the Ground School, check us out at parttimepilot.com. All right. Thanks, everybody. Hey guys, it's Nick. I want to take a second to speak directly to the student pilots out there. You might be a student pilot that is, you know, wondering what to do next, how to get started, or maybe you're looking for the right ground training or flight training, or maybe you've already started ground training or flight training and you're stuck, you're in a rut, and you're looking for a change, something to help get you out of that hurdle. From my own experience in flight training, after 3 years, 5 instructors, and $22,000, and wanting to quit multiple times, and then now, after seeing hundreds and hundreds of student pilots through Part-Time Pilot, I've realized that the number one thing that makes student pilots fail is that they do not have a good fundamental understanding of the ground training when they get to the more advanced flight lessons. Now, who here has seen Top Gun Maverick? Do you remember in the movie when he says, "Don't think, just do"? Now, when I heard this, I was like, oh my goodness, this is brilliant, because this is exactly what you have to be as a pilot. Now, of course, it's not that we're not thinking, but it's that we understand things like weather, aerodynamics, what our instruments are telling us, what ATC is telling us. We have such a good core fundamental understanding of these things that we don't have to think about them. And when we don't have to think about them, we can instinctively feel and fly the aircraft, look out for dangers, and avoid emergency situations. If we do have to think about these things, it's going to put us behind mentally, and we're going to be behind the aircraft. And when you're behind the aircraft mentally, bad things happen. And this happens when you don't have a good understanding of the ground school content. So now the first 10 to 15 hours of your flight training can go smooth, even if you don't have a good understanding of ground training, right? You can go up for a discovery flight, have a blast. You can go up, learn how to take off, learn how to land. You may be even able to solo for the first time, fly a plane for the first time. Everything's great and dandy. But once you get into, you know, bad weather flying, or flying at heavily trafficked airports, or speaking with ATC for Bravo clearance, or cross-country flight planning and flying solo on a cross-country flight, things get a little more advanced. And when this happens and you don't have a good understanding of the ground school concepts, you're going to hit a wall. You're going to start to get behind the aircraft. And when this happens, if you have a good flight instructor, they're going to stop you and they're going to say, okay, we need to do one-on-one ground lessons. And now you're going to be paying your flight instructor to not even fly with you, but instead $50, $60, $70 an hour to just teach you the ground school content that you should already know. And the worst part is you're not flying with them. So the flight training that you gained, the currency, the proficiency that you gained is going to be lost, and you're going to have to redo those lessons. What happens to most student pilots is they continuously hit these mental blocks where they get behind the aircraft, they start making mistakes, and then they catch up with the ground knowledge only to have that happen again. And they start to get in this vicious cycle of having to redo trainings and repay for trainings until it gets to the point where them or their family, they finally say, you know what, this has to stop. We can no longer afford the training costs without any progress, you know, and they end up quitting. Now, so how do we avoid that? Well, here comes Part-Time Pilot. Again, I said I went through my own experience of this, and I realized that most flight training and ground training is not tailored to the modern day student pilot. And when I say modern day student pilot, I should say modern day part-time student pilot. Because let's face it, there's a very small percentage of us that can go and dedicate 24/7, 365 to our flight training, or not even miss a beat and be able to pay for flight training without working. So most of us have a full-time job or maybe a part-time job. We have kids, we have family, we have school. We have all these other responsibilities on top of flight training. And most of these flight trainings and ground trainings are not tailored towards you. And so how is it the part-time pilot tailors to the modern day student pilot? Well, the first way we do that is by keeping ground school interesting. You want to avoid being boring. You want to avoid that burnout. So how we do that is we present our material in multiple ways. And you're actually listening to one of them right now. You can consume our content via this podcast and an audio recording. You can do this while you're running, while you're driving in traffic. Again, tailoring to that busy part-time student pilot. Or you can read through our written lessons. You know, I like to read. So for those of you that like to read, you can read through the lessons. You can see the step-by-step examples and the procedures that we have. Or you can look through our study guide and see our diagrams and mnemonic devices, have that visual cue, those visual cues and aids that help further your understanding. Or you can watch our videos. Or you can take our quizzes and practice tests to reinforce what you just learned. And then finally, you can join us live weekly for our live Q&A and our live lessons so you can see in real time these things taught out and these examples done in real time. And then finally, you can utilize our group community, form study groups, get questions answered 24/7. All of this is tailored for the modern day student pilot to keep ground school interesting, keep it from being boring, keep from having that burnout, and to find ways that you can consume the content throughout your busy schedule. And guess what? It works. We've had over 350 student pilots come through, take and pass their FAA exams without a single student failing. That's right. A single student has yet to tell me that they failed either their FAA written or their FAA check ride. So that is just proof in the pudding right there that our concepts, the way we explain things in plain written English, and the way we give you multiple ways to consume this content is working. So if this sounds like something you might be interested in and you want to come join us, we'd love to have you. Just go to www.parttimepilot.com, click on online ground school, and we'll see you inside the online ground school. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys next week.